Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Much to do this hour. Chris Adler is going to come on from KFI News after 3:30 because things are bubbling up again at UCLA. She's on that beat. We're going to tell you about the hand-to-hand combat classes that anti-Israel protesters took before the violence broke out, and we'll go through their programming. They actually had a program to ready themselves for combat, and we also have some other documents here about the UCLA Palestine Solidarity Group and the things they're asked, the donations they're asking for, the medical food and other logistical needs that they have. So we're going to go through that list to give you an idea of how organized they are and how they want to dig in for the long haul with supplies. And obviously, they're getting a lot of supplies from these outside groups. Let's go now to ABC News correspondent Peter Haralambos. And he has been covering the Trump trial. And the judge in the case, Juan Merchan, has warned Trump he might go to jail if what, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump at this point has been indicted four times over the last year, though we never really saw the possibility of Trump being behind bars before the 2024 election. That kind of changed yesterday when Judge Juan Merchan issued this ruling about the gag order in Donald Trump's criminal case here in New York. Merchan fined Donald Trump at the time $9,000 for nine different violations of the case's limited gag order. But notably in his ruling, he warned Trump that if he were to violate the case's gag order again, the former president could be incarcerated for it. We know that Secret Service officials here in New York have discussed that possibility, the logistics of locking up Donald Trump, according to sources familiar with the matter. And the ball is kind of in Donald Trump's court at the moment to see whether or not his rhetoric will change or if he will continue making statements about witnesses or the jurors in the case.
Was there any reaction from Trump or the defense team? Did they say, okay, we get it?
So we didn't see any clear acknowledgement of the gag order ruling coming down, though Trump continued to rail against the judge in the case. Trump has made an effort to have the judge recused, arguing that he's conflicted because of the political work of his daughter. Coincidentally, Trump lost his appeal on that front related to the recusal yesterday. So with kind of that double whammy of legal issues, Trump argued that the judge was biased, conflicted, immediately should be recused, though there's no indication that Trump has any legal recourse to get the judge off the case at this point.
Well, it seems like Trump's method here is just to create as much of a ruckus as possible. Whether it goes anywhere with the judge or goes anywhere on appeals is really almost beside the point. He just wants to make the whole process as difficult as possible and make everyone involved as uncomfortable as possible.
That sounds about right if you ask the prosecutors in the case. I mean, they said explicitly during a hearing last week that while they aren't asking for incarceration at the moment, Trump seems to be angling for it. Trump himself has compared himself to a modern-day Nelson Mandela when it comes to this gag order. And notably, in terms of the actual proceedings, Trump's lawyers are refusing to do some basic tasks during the trial itself. For example, prosecutors usually sign stipulations with defense attorneys during a trial. Essentially, it allows the process of the actual proceeding to speed up because you don't have to call individual witnesses to verify that evidence is real. Basically, you can sign a document or you can haul someone in from Apple, for example, to say that that iCloud account is indeed belonging to the person who the search warrant was written towards. But Trump's lawyers are refusing to do that. Looks like we're going to have to call in about a dozen or more additional witnesses, dragging on the case by at least a few more days.
Yeah.
So it seems like commotion and delays are a pretty common tactic here.
Normally both sides agree what is obvious evidence. Just
basically, yeah. And in this case, yesterday we heard testimony from a court reporter who verified that, you know, that a deposition that was taken in one of Trump's civil cases was legit, and an archivist from C-SPAN who confirmed that Donald Trump was indeed the person in a video from 2016 at a campaign event in Virginia and North Carolina. So it seems like this trial is dragging on in a lot of different ways, not only with this commotion by the gag order, but also just the basic steps of the case at times.
You may not know this, but are there any is there any legal chatter going on among the lawyers and analysts about how far they think the judge, Merchan, can be pushed? Because Trump calculates people's weaknesses all the time and tries to look for weak points that he can exploit in people's personalities. And I'm sure he's been analyzing Merchan to see how much he can get away with. Is there any sense of people who knew Merchan, other lawyers perhaps, on how much Merchan would put up with? Because that's going to be a drastic step if he puts Trump in jail, because you just don't know what that's going to unleash.
So legally speaking, there's no limit on pretty much what Trump can say about Merchan. The gag order doesn't place any prohibition on statements about Merchan. But I guess in researching Trump, Merchan, the judge overseeing this case, I guess it's important to note his background. Merchan, in his spare time on Wednesdays when court isn't sitting, oversees a mental health court and a veterans treatment court here in New York. Basically, these are treatment courts that exist kind of for alternatives to incarceration, basically. And over the course of interviewing a bunch of friends and colleagues of Merchan, they kind of suggested to me that Merchan is in a way blessed with a ton of patience, given the fact that he spends, you know, countless days out of his year dealing with defendants in those settings. So
who are kind of volatile.
Yes. So in the politest way possible, these folks I spoke with suggested that prepares Merchan for this hearing. Though, you know, it's interesting in court because you could kind of see when he's about to erupt at times. For example, Trump and his lawyers showed up late on multiple occasions yesterday. Merchan scolded Trump's defense attorney after one occasion, and he kind of restrained himself after the second occasion. But you know, it seems as though Merchan is somewhat prepared, at least, for the unique circumstances of this case.
Peter, thanks very much. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Peter Haralambos with ABC News. He's an investigative reporter. He's on the Trump trial beat. When we come back, how about the hand-to-hand combat classes that the pro-Hamas protesters took at UCLA? And we're going to talk with Chris Adler, too, after 3:30 about there's anything bubbling up again. Wait till you hear their programming. I have their programming sheet here. The protesters. They're getting prepared for, I guess they weren't all that prepared last night because the Jewish guys who came in and beat them up, I think, took them by surprise. But we'll go through their list of supplies that they are demanding, the donations that they want for their encampment, and you have the president of the UC system demanding investigation into UCLA over why did they let this all happen last night. All coming up.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
oh, the Moist line I haven't mentioned in a while. You might have a lot to say about all these pro-Hamas rioters. 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86, and the fools at UCLA administration. So you can share anything there. You could also use the talkback feature on the iHeart app for the Moist line, 877-MOIST-86. Also, on social media, you can follow us at John Cobalt Radio. And if you go like to our Instagram site, we have really cool video that Blake Trolley took of all the mayhem at UCLA. And lots of people have already discovered it. I forgot even to mention it, and I'm sorry about that, but you should go. Blake's got some great video about the UCLA activity at John Cobalt Radio, and that's good for all the social media sites. All right. This is almost comical. The pro-Hamas protesters at UCLA had hand-to-hand combat classes inside their encampment just hours before the violence broke out. Now, to be fair, for just a minute, they were attacked by Jewish men. One witness says it seemed not to be students, but outsiders who are just fed up with the Jews being, well, not being allowed to go into their classes in the library and being blocked. The organizers at the UCLA Palestine Solidarity Encampment, that's their official name. They promoted a course entitled Dealing with Cops Workshop, and that was held yesterday evening at 6:30. And there's a video online showing the course. Protesters gathered in a circle, and there's a group in the middle that teaches them how to take blows from police. One of the demonstrators showed off the proper form the students should take in a fight that protects their faces. And one man shows how this stance helps block a punch. And another shows how easily you can knock a person back after their leg is grabbed. Along with their training, protesters were equipped with hard hats and trash cans that they could use as riot shields. And so they were ready when the counter-protesters and the police came storming in later in the evening. Now, I have their programming. That's what they call it, April 30th programming. From 4:30 to 5:30, someone named Saint Levant was going to give a speech. Then at 5:30, there was going to be a reading circle. Again, this is so Jim Barry-like. A reading circle. Strategy for the liberation of Palestine. Why don't these stupid bastards go to Palestine and join Hamas? What are they doing here? What a bunch of cowards. All these Palestinian protesters are play-acting like little children. It's like when kids used to play cowboys and Indians. They're playing Jews and terrorists. What are you doing in Los Angeles? The action is in Gaza. Go there. None of these people really want to help the cause. Why don't you go there and at least feed the local people? 6 to 8 o'clock is dinner time. That's a two-hour dinner. When was the last time you had a two-hour dinner? And they're getting the food donated. This is a good racket. All right, then 6:30 to 7:30, I guess this overlaps with dinner time, dealing with cops, the workshop. And then this one cracked me up. From 7:30 to 8 o'clock, COVID testing.
I didn't even know they did that anymore.
First of all, they're all wearing masks and headscarves. Not that it stops COVID to wear those, but yeah. Why are they doing COVID testing? They're much more in danger than getting their heads beat in, either by the counter-protesters or the police. Then this is the capper. I am not making any of this up. This is on their website or on their social media feed. From 8:30 to 9 o'clock, after the COVID testing, after the hand-to-hand combat workshop, 8:30 to 9 o'clock, therapist-led grieving and processing circle.
What are they grieving?
I don't know. Maybe dinner?
They wanted a three-hour dinner?
Therapist-led grieving and processing. And then from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., Those are the quiet hours. Oops.
Why aren't we grieving about all those hostages that are being held by Hamas?
I'm sure they're grieving about all the Israeli babies who got murdered and the Israeli women that got raped. But yeah, 10 to 6 last night, which was when the riots were happening, that was supposed to be the quiet hours. Now, here's the list of needs, according to the Palestine Solidarity Encampment. Please ensure their donations are BDS compliant. I think that has to do with you can't use companies. There's a lot of companies being boycotted by this crowd because they do business with Israel. So when you if you buy this, please be aware that you cannot buy these items from from companies
well,
that
they have their standards.
Yeah. This is urgent. They need headlamps, airsoft goggles. They need gas masks and respirators.
What?
They need skater helmets, shields, wood for barriers, knee and elbow pads, rain ponchos, canopies, utility gloves, super bright flashlights with strobe light, and umbrellas. They need EpiPens, non-steroid inhalers. Aw. It looks like some of the terrorist supporters might have allergies. Maybe they're allergic to bees. They also emphasize headlamps again. And let's see. Oh, the food that they want. They want hot food for lunch. 3 exclamation points. Important in capital letters with several more exclamation points. Hot food for lunch. Number 2, and you could expect this, vegan food.
Wait a second. Don't. No.
It's fanatics.
No. I'm appalled.
It's crazy people.
No.
Of course there's they're vegans.
Well, let's definitely lump them in.
No.
Deborah's going to be part of the protest.
No, I'm not.
What, you have vegan food?
I may like stop by to see what they have and then run away.
And then they want gluten-free food because, you know, that's the real danger. Gluten. No packaged food, no coffee, no bagels, no bananas, no nuts.
Why no bananas? I can understand nuts because, you know, they're asking for EpiPens.
Right. Yeah, I guess they're all allergic. They also want sleeping pads, batteries, rope. That's not a good sign.
That is not.
Zip ties. Mm. What do you need zip ties for a peaceful protest? Generators, lotion, Aquaphor, no sunscreen.
Well, they're planning on
I don't
not
know.
Protesting when it's hot.
Right. I guess so. They'll stay in their tent during the day. We're going to have Chris Adler from KFI News at UCLA right now. See what's going on. That's next.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on demand on the iHeart app. You can hear what you missed. Conway coming up at 4 o'clock. The LA Times has just published within the last half hour a timeline of what went wrong last night with the various police agencies and why nobody showed up and was ready to do battle with either the protesters supporting the terrorists or the counter-protesters supporting Israel and the Jewish students. We'll get into that coming up. But first, let's look at what's happening now at UCLA with Chris Adler, KFI News. Chris.
Hey, John. So, yeah, I'm at UCLA right now. Right now, I was just outside of Powell Library. That library was overrun, and it's still overtaken by these pro-Palestinian protesters within the camp. Now, CHP is posted outside. There are several officers posted outside of that library. Any protesters that walk out from the camp and go through the library and exit, they are being blocked from re-entering. They're not letting anybody go in, so nobody can go in, and anybody who comes out is not allowed back in. But we watched these protesters tried to bring in supplies, food, water, looks like art supplies. They tried to carry in, and CHP stopped them from getting into the library. And as I was standing out there, John, this guy comes up and he's like, "I'm a medic. I need to get in and tries to push his way through CHP, and they stop him, and they go, they're telling him, "No one is allowed in. You're not going in. There's no entry. There, you can't get in." He goes, "I'm a medic. I need to get in. Those people need me." So as he's been turned away, he's walking away, and I catch up with him. I ask him, I said, "So you were inside?" He goes, "Yeah, I was inside before. I was taking care of people, but we've got injuries from last night's Zionist attacks, and I need to get in and help people, and they're not letting me in." And then a guy comes running up behind us, and he runs up to that guy who says he's a medic. By the way, he's a non-student. He said he's a non-student. Another person runs up, another non-student. He goes, "Hey, man, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a student, but I want to help you. So let me know what I can do." And then they walked off and were talking about what they could do. So, you know, there's a large police presence out here, John, that we did not see yesterday. And when I got on scene this morning, there were a couple dozen. There are much more now. CHP, LAPD, and Beverly Hills PD, John.
All right. And how many students or protesters do they think are inside this library?
Well, they're walking in and out of the library, so they don't know how many are inside, but there are at least 50 camps. And when I talked to a woman who came out, she says there's about 200 people inside of the camp. A woman walked out of the library and she was wearing a Palestinian shawl, and she said she's not a student, and she goes, "I'm just here helping them clean up inside the camp." She goes, "I'm not a student, and
the camp's inside the library?"
No, the camp. So if you walk through the camp, if you walk through Powell Library,
yeah,
you can, that exit, you can exit is facing the camp.
So
they can go into the library and possibly use the bathrooms in there.
I see.
Yeah. But if they leave, if they exit on that exit where the media check-in is for that camp, they are not allowed back in. So a woman walked out and she said she's not a student. She's just in there helping the students clean up, manage things, keep an eye on things, keep things in order.
Camps did you say are on the
campus?
There are
at least 50 tents.
50 that tents.
Yeah, right outside of Royce Hall, which has been shut down. They've closed Royce Hall. They've closed classes today. And, you know, the police are getting closer to this camp. I was watching and listening to the protesters behind the boards, the plywood. I thought for a moment that they were taking it down because UCLA has ordered this. They said it's an unlawful gathering. They need to now disperse. And I was listening. They weren't breaking it down, John. They were actually reinforcing it. And I heard one of the leaders inside of the camp giving instructions to the protesters to create a multi-layered, at least three layers of barricade. They said, "We have new rules. tools now. And he was saying, we've got to reinforce this barricade. And you could hear power tools, drills, drilling on the plywood to try to reinforce that barricade.
So if I understand this right, the 50 tents that comprise this camp has been declared unlawful by the police.
By UCLA.
By UCLA. Okay. So why is it still there, and why aren't the police dismantling the tents?
You know,
instead, you're saying they're reinforcing their encampment.
The camp is they're reinforcing. But what I'm seeing is, you know, the police are gathering. We're seeing a much bigger police presence than we saw a couple hours ago. So I don't know if this means that LAPD and CHP are all getting ready to go in and dismantle this. We don't know. They're standing around. Police won't answer. They won't tell us. They're just kind of, you know, I'm watching as LAPD's putting up yellow tape.
I guess what I don't understand here at UCLA and at Columbia is why the police and the administration, they don't take care of this problem in real time. As soon as the first two tents pop up, it's like, no, guys, that's going down now. Get out. Immediately, just everybody out. They let it fester sometimes for weeks, and then it blows, and everybody stands around going, oh, what happened? Well, you can't let them have one tent up. It's like homeless, you know? You let one tent in your neighborhood, you're going to get 100.
Well, UCLA has gone on record and said that they were supporting their students' freedom of expression and speech up until it got violent. But I spoke to several students today that said that only today they've received, or yesterday they received their first email from campus letting students know that the library was going to be closed, that Royce Hall was going to be closed. This was before they decided to close class this morning. But students are outraged. They don't understand why the university didn't take action before.
Yeah, there's no constitutional right to pitch a tent.
Well, this is a public campus, and so the university, from their perspective, was trying to give the students, you know, from what they've said, an opportunity to peacefully protest. But several things have happened, and I've been here for them, John, where it did get violent and it got scary at times. But students were saying, well, you know, it got scary 3 days ago. Where was UCLA at that time? Were they waiting for someone to get seriously hurt? And so after that violence last night, they closed classes. But like I said, we're watching police come in here. I'm seeing more patrol. So we don't really know what's going on. I've reached out to UCLA to get an answer. They will not respond. We're just trying to figure out what's happening. What's the plan? There's no plan. You can tell there's no plan from the protesters to break this up. So when does LAPD go in and make those arrests, if that's going to happen? Because they've called this, they have deemed it an unlawful gathering.
If it's
so
unlawful,
now they're unlawfully on campus.
They should break it up. All right, Chris Adler, excellent. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, John.
For that report at UCLA. Chris Adler, KFI News. We're going to go through a rundown of the timeline from last night. The El Segundo Times has put together, has explained how slow the various police agencies were and how inept the administrators were in quelling that riot last night.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
In the last hour, LA Times published a timeline of what went on, because everybody is wondering, how did it get so out of hand? Where were the police? Where were the administrators? And everyone wants to know, including the UC administrators, the bosses of UCLA. They want to know how the hell this happened. All right, so I'm going to go quickly to this. We only have a couple of minutes. But it says, when the counter-protesters, now remember, you had a group of Israeli supporters swarming in to UCLA late last night, attacking the Palestinian encampment. And law enforcement sources told the Times there were only a few UCLA police officers on hand. How stupid is that for the UCLA administration? The chancellor, Gene Block, head. They tried to stop the violence, but they were completely overmatched and they had to retreat because they got attacked themselves. Okay, so the UCLA police, campus police, are out of the picture. There was a group of unarmed private security guards, again with the unarmed. Gee, were they ambassadors? But the guards were supposed to protect the buildings, not break up fights or make arrests. So they weren't of any use. It would take 3 hours for CHP officers and LAPD and other agencies to finally show up and bring it under control. And everybody's going, what the hell? A spokesperson for Newsom says the limited and delayed campus law enforcement response at UCLA last night was unacceptable and demands answers. Wow, even Newsom's pissed. The UC president, now this again, president of the whole UC system, Michael Drake, wrote a letter to the Board of Regents saying that somebody's got to explain here. There is sufficient confusion. I'm ordering an independent review of UCLA's planning and action. They didn't plan, and there wasn't any action. You know, if this guy Drake gets a response, he's going to get a blank sheet of paper. UCLA had no plans to do anything. They were in the tank for the Hamas supporters. It says here at USC, the encampment students were arrested en masse by LAPD. At UCLA, they could protest all day and night, and nobody in law enforcement would bother them. Even when on Sunday, when some pro-Israel protesters showed up and there was some scuffling, the uniformed response was minimal. Then Tuesday night, that's when a larger group of Israeli protesters, counter-protesters, came in. And one professor of Jewish history at UCLA is David Myers. He says there needs to be consequences. There needs to be changes. It's a total system failure. We need to look ourselves in the eye and say, how the hell did this happen? Well, it's because the administrators side with these Palestinian terrorists. That's why. I mean, it's not that complicated. Their sympathies lie with the Palestinian protesters who are supporting the terrorists. That's the beginning and end of this. The violence began around 10:30 when the counter-protesters arrived. People inside the encampment, the Palestinians, began asking for help. Notice I'm not describing anybody as being an American. I don't even know if those people are citizens. I don't know where they came from. I don't know if they're here on student visas. I don't know if they came here illegally. I don't know what their allegiance is, although I have a feeling it's not to the U.S. The counter-protesters, they had their own masks, black and white. And they tried to break down the barricades, and they started shooting fireworks at the Palestinians and kicking down the wooden boards around the camp. See, you set up an encampment and you reinforce it with wooden boards and gates. You're just asking for the enemy to come in and tear it down. Again, UCLA created this problem because they're stupid. John Thomas is the chief of the UCLA Police Department. He didn't respond to a comment with the Times, but he told the Daily Bruin paper that his officers came under attack. And he only had 5 or 6. Some say only 4. LA Times quotes a deputy sheriff in Modoc County, who's an advisor, that this is essentially a private matter. It's UCLA's campus. It's the school's decision to call in LAPD. Even though UCLA is on state land, it's also an independent, it's like its own independent entity, its own town. So outside police forces do not enter the campus without approval. I didn't know that. UCLA is treated as if it's Beverly Hills. And it took till 3 a.m. till the police operation was fully complete. Law enforcement didn't even start showing up till after 1:30. And it took an hour and a half to get up to speed. And now, Gene Block, the chancellor, said the incident is a dark chapter in our campus's history. Well, what were you doing all evening? What were you doing? I don't get it. Conway's here.
You know what's a darker chapter in UCLA's history? Their football team.
Just want to throw that in.
Yeah, all right.
The earthquake today, did you feel it?
You know, Deborah and I were in here talking, and we didn't notice it.
Really?
Yeah, everybody else did.
Well, this building is on rollers, and so you're not going to feel anything in this building. You're going to watch Burbank get wiped out while you're sitting
really?
In this building.
We'll just be rolling up and back like on skates.
And this building will end up in Sylmar, but you'll be fine.
All right.
We have Ted Ziegenbusch coming on today talking about the Kentucky Derby. Got to get a hit. I need the release for Saturday. I need the hit. I need the winner. And then remember last night, the Dodgers had a 2-hour delay because of the bees.
Yes.
We got the guy coming on today that took that beehive down.
He did it quickly, too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Guy walks in there in front of 40,000 or 4,000 people in Arizona.
What did he vacuum them?
I think he vacuumed them. And he does. There's a new age way to do it. You convince him to fly elsewhere. Isn't that weird?
Can he work that magic on the protesters?
I don't know. And then we've been talking about this in the hallway, and I've been voted to ask you, and we didn't want to do it off the air because we're all uncomfortable. But how much do you make a year here?
How much do I make a year?
Yeah, we're all wondering.
Who's wondering?
The guys.
No, they don't care.
The guys.
They're not going to get any of it.
All right. All right. I told you, fellas. Belio's wondering.
Doesn't matter. They're not getting. You're not getting anything.
Okay.
Not even look at a Christmas card.
Don't blame me. I'm the just the messenger.
Your messenger.
They wanted to know. They wanted.
How much
know.
Are you making?
I'll say this. I make so little money, and yeah. I have so little money that I got this. I don't know if you can see that. This business card on my car.
Yeah.
You see what it says?
We buy used and junk cars.
And I drove up and down my street to see if anyone else got one. Not a single one. I got that card on my windshield yesterday. And I drove up and down the street looking at other cars. Nobody else got one. Okay. And John, this is KFI. This is the biggest talk station right. in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm driving around a car where a guy thinks it's such a piece of crap, he's going to leave his business card saying that he buys junk cars on my windshield.
I have a lot full of junk cars.
That's right.
It's like, hey.
Right. You must be down and out. Let me buy your car.
Check to see if you were living inside.
That's right.
All right. Conway's next.
Ding dong.
Crozier's got the news live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.